It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News Team. Now, here's what's happening.
Bracing for impact. Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast.
This is about as serious as it gets.
Hurricane Ian makes landfall soon along the Gulf Coast of Florida.
It is imminent. I can tell you it is a Cat 4 hurricane, nearly a Cat 5.
Florida's emergency management director says with 155-mile-per-hour winds, Ian is going to do incredible damage. Governor Ron DeSantis.
There will be a catastrophic flooding and life-threatening storm surge.
The storm's forecast to roar ashore near Fort Myers sometime between 2 and 4 o'clock this afternoon. Forecaster Robert Ray.
As soon as that surge comes in, it will be deadly if one is here in it.
A storm surge of up to 18 feet is now possible. Reporter Sam Brock.
Think about the average house. Two stories is 20 feet typically. So you're talking about water all the way up to nearly the top of your roof.
2 feet of rain expected as far inland as Orlando.
You can hide from the wind. You have to run from the storm surge and the water.
Janice Dean with Fox Weather.
People are going to be underwater. And that's why, you know, we are so concerned.
Meteorologist Bill Caron says topography is not on the side of Southwest Florida today.
Cape Coral and the Fort Myers area, very low elevations. That water is going to go miles inland when that eye makes landfall.
President Biden says the federal government stands ready to assist in any way it can.
We'll be there to help you clean up and rebuild, to help Florida get moving again. And we'll be there at every step of the way. That's my absolute commitment to the people of the state of Florida.
Ian expected to exit Florida tomorrow and will ravage Georgia and the Carolinas before heading out to sea. 250,000 Floridians have no power as the storm's eye wall moves onshore. Again, landfall expected between 2 and 4 o'clock this afternoon. Other news today, 22 House Republicans demanding answers from Attorney General Merrick Garland regarding the recent FBI arrest of a pro-life activist from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. 48-year-old Mark Houck was taken into custody 5 days ago at his suburban Philadelphia home. He's accused of roughing up an abortion clinic worker after that worker verbally abused his 12-year-old son last year. Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute says this case is all about trying to intimidate pro-lifers.
Then when people look at this case and say, he just pushed a man down because the man was offending and accosting his son, people will say, wait a minute, this is way out of whack.
Houck pled not guilty in federal court yesterday to charges that he violated the FACE Act for allegedly shoving the clinic escort at a Planned Parenthood. Last week, the FBI reportedly sent 25 agents to his home to arrest him. Former FBI agent Chris Swiger.
This was over a year ago that this event happened. They could have walked up on the street, just put the handcuffs on and walked him away. I don't see any circumstances here that justify the use of a SWAT team, which is reserved for armed and dangerous criminals.
The FBI disputes the claim that a SWAT team was called in to arrest that pro-life demonstrator who now faces more than a decade in prison. The first lawsuit's been filed to stop President Biden's college debt forgiveness plan. The Pacific Legal Foundation says the loan wipeout idea is unconstitutional.
I love there's a lawsuit here. I love the fact that somebody's challenging this and saying this is a bad idea.
Economist Brian Brenberg.
I don't know how this is constitutional. I mean, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but there's no way that the president of the United States can make a $500 billion decision about somebody else's debt. It's ridiculous.
The president wants to cancel the college debt of 40 million borrowers. Critics fear taxpayers would foot the bill and colleges would raise tuition as a result. In war-torn Ukraine today, Russian ruler Vladimir Putin's trying to accomplish through the ballot box what he hasn't been able to do on the ballot. battlefield. Correspondent Charlie Daggett.
The Ukrainian military released this video said to show special forces overrunning Russian positions in the Donbass region. If President Putin annexes territories here and elsewhere, as expected this week, he can claim that Russia itself is now under attack, justifying the deployment of conscripts and even, he hinted, a nuclear response.
Russia's trying to annex four regions of Ukraine, people there being forced to the polls at gunpoint. On the Health Watch, loneliness, it turns out, speeds up the aging process. Family Life's Tracy Lin has that report.
Researchers in Hong Kong have found that being unhappy or experiencing loneliness accelerates the aging process even more than smoking. Unhappiness damages the body's biological clock, and that in turn increases the risk for Alzheimer's, diabetes, and heart disease. The findings are based on biometric data collected from 12,000 Chinese adults. A Harvard University study finds 36% of all Americans suffer from chronic loneliness, and the 18 to 22-year-old crowd, the so-called Gen Zers, are the loneliest generation. Experts say loneliness increases during the pandemic, with young adults and women suffering the most. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you very much, Tracy. And still to come on the Noon Report, Dems in the lead in New York and PA. Local relief group headed to Florida, and Happy Meal toys are not just for kids.
Well, good afternoon. Another early October-like day underway with clouds, sun, and showers in the mix. Mostly sunshine, though, returns as we head toward week's end. I'll have forecast details coming up in 10.
All right, we'll see you then. Thanks, Kevin. News where you live next. Some Western New Yorkers got caught in the storm that is Hurricane Ian. East Aurora resident Jill Gish has a condo in Sarasota, Florida, and is hunkered down till Ian leaves town.
I get the feeling from talking to locals here that their reaction to it is kind of like ours when a snowstorm is approaching. They've been there. They're used to it. They know exactly what to do. So they don't seem as scared as me.
Many local charities will descend on the Sunshine State soon to help Florida recover. Steve Tybor runs 8 Days of Hope, a faith-based group out of Buffalo.
When you serve people and you love people, you might leave exhausted, but your heart's going to be full. That's going to happen in Florida starting this weekend.
Tybor's group formed 17 years ago after Hurricane Katrina. And this weekend, 150 of his volunteers will roll into Florida.
If their house flooded, you got to get everything wet out. And that's what our volunteers do. We gut out homes. We remove the furniture and the rugs and the cabinets so we can dry it out.
Tiber's charity is set up to respond within 72 hours of a natural disaster. Like Ian.
We're just a conduit. I mean, we're nothing special. Our volunteers have come from 50 states, 11 countries, 50,000 of them, always on their own dime, and they just want to give back.
They not only provide emergency assistance, but also help feed those who are on the ground taking part in the recovery process. New Siena College poll out today shows New York Governor Kathy Hochul with a commanding 17-point lead over Republican challenger Lee Zeldin. The biggest issue on the minds of voters, according to that poll, the economy. The poll also shows that Democrats in other statewide races, such as attorney general, are doing well. New York Congressman Joe Sempolinski wants the attorney general, Merrick Garland, to investigate Kathy Hochul. It has to do with tax dollars used to purchase COVID test kits from one of the governor's biggest campaign donors. Pennsylvania Republican gubernatorial candidate Doug Mastriano's taking heat for comments he made 3 years ago about abortion. The conservative said in a 2019 interview that he supports murder charges against women who get abortions after 6 weeks. He was responding to a question about pro-life legislation that he was sponsoring in the state Senate.
My question is, you know, what, and again, you can give me a yes or no on this. Would that woman who decided to have an abortion, which would be considered an illegal abortion, be charged with murder?
Okay, let's go back to the basic question there. Is that a human being? Is that a little boy or girl? If it is, it deserves equal protection under the law.
So you're saying yes?
Yes, I am.
Mastriano interviewed there by WITF Radio Scott Lamar. The GOP candidate is trailing Democrat Josh Shapiro in the race for governor. The latest Marist poll has Shapiro up 53 to 40%. Political pundit Ari Fleischer says says that poll only takes into account, though, registered voters and not likely voters.
Registered voters don't vote. Voters vote. And so you need to switch to likely voters. Likely voters always vote more Republican than registered voters. And right now, the media is still using an overbroad pool of people called registered voters when that is not indicative of who was actually going to show up in November. This is why the polls right now have a Democrat bias to them.
In Pennsylvania's hotly contested U.S. Senate race, Democrat John Fetterman has a 10-point lead over Republican Mehmet Oz. Pollster Lee Mironoff says what's most surprising to him about that survey is that most Pennsylvanians have already made up their mind about who they're going to vote for. Not a lot of undecideds left, says Lee Mironoff. A new report today shows insurance fraud was rampant in New York during COVID's heyday. The state has uncovered $11 million in insurance fraud in just the month of August. This means while thousands of small businesses were struggling to survive, others were ripping off the system.
Individuals who took the opportunity to defraud the system during the pandemic when folks were getting benefits as a real lifeline.
Jacqueline Kagan DePeach runs the Office of Special Investigations for the New York Labor Department. The state is expected to find more than $110 million in stolen COVID benefits this year. Crime is out of control in the Rochester, New York area, as evidenced by recent events in the suburb of Irondequoit. Police investigating after several homes were burglarized there. Half a dozen cars were stolen in one neighborhood. It happened in the Edge Creek Trail neighborhood there in Irondequoit. One suspect in custody. Several others are not. A 14-year-old boy is dead and four others are in the hospital after a shooting near a school yesterday in Philadelphia. It happened as the victims were walking off a football field at Roxborough High. Philadelphia Councilman David O.
All of this has resulted from just a lack of law enforcement, a disrespect of the law, and a failure to hold people accountable. And so this is what is leading to this type of crime and violence in our city.
That fatal shooting of that 14-year-old came a day after Philadelphia recorded its 400th homicide of the year. An Alden, New York man's been sentenced to 45 days behind bars for his role in the January 6th Capitol attack. 38-year-old Daniel Warmus apologized to the judge yesterday, said he's not proud of his decision to enter the Capitol building with a mob protesting the results of the 2020 election. In addition to his sentence, Warmus must also pay a $500 fine and serve 2 years probation. He was also ordered to perform 60 hours of community service. The Western New Yorker was one of the first people to enter the Capitol Rotunda on January 6th of last year. It's 13 past the hour. Let's pause for sports. This is the Noon Report.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, the New York Yankees have won the American League East crown. The Yanks knocked off Toronto 5-2 last night. Jameson Taillon went 7 1/3 and gave up only 2 runs to pick up his 14th win on the season. The Aaron Judge home run watch continues as he's still at 60. Last night, Judge didn't get many opportunities to hit one out. He walked 4 times. Tampa Bay won in 11 over Cleveland 6-5. The Tigers went 10 innings to beat Kansas City 4-3. Baltimore and Boston continue to slug it out for the second straight game. 22 total runs were scored. Only this time the Red Sox came out on top 13-9. Minnesota shut out the White Sox 4-0. Texas shut down Seattle 5-0. And the Angels edged Oakland 4-3. In the National League, Ronald Acuna Jr. hit 2 home runs and Atlanta moved into a first place tie with the Mets. The Braves won 8-2 over the Nats while New York dropped a 6-4 decision to Miami. The Cardinals are your National League Central champions as they beat Milwaukee 6-2. Phillies fell to the Cubs 2-1. It's Philadelphia's third straight loss. Their magic number to make the playoffs is at 8. Phillies a game and a half ahead of the Brewers. Elsewhere, the Padres beat the Dodgers in 10, 4-3. Giants 5-2 winners over Colorado. Pittsburgh down Cincinnati 4-1. And the lone interleague game saw Houston win easily over the D-backs 10-2. Jose Altuve, two home runs to lead the Astros. NFL news, not good for the New York Giants. They're going to be without their top receiver for the rest of the season. Sterling Shepard tore his ACL in Monday night's game. That is a look at sports.
All right, Randy, man, thank you kindly. And still to come on the Noon Report, a midweek edition, Ian is about to make landfall in Florida, the first all-electric airplane, and talk in politics like a Christian should. We'll talk about that coming up.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. 13 years after it first premiered, the science fiction movie Avatar was back in theaters last weekend, this time to prepare us all for a sequel scheduled for a December release. The original still stands as the highest grossing film of all time, the first movie to surpass more than $2 billion in earnings. It also stands as one of the clearest examples of how worldviews can be embedded in story and of new age ideas embedded in a film. Chuck Colson offered a helpful worldview analysis of Avatar, and given its re-release last weekend, that's worth another hearing. So here's Chuck Colson.
Lots of people are saying they're blown away by the movie Avatar, but what they mean is the special effects are beyond belief. But so is the movie's premise. This year's Oscar race is being billed as a duel between ex-spouses. Catherine Bigelow, the director of the critically acclaimed war film about Iraq called The Hurt Locker, and her ex-husband James Cameron, director of the phenomenally lucrative 3D blockbuster Avatar. But Avatar is part of another more important competition, one between competing accounts of where salvation is to be found. Avatar, which broke the all-time box office record previously held by Cameron's film Titanic, has been compared to the 1990 Best Picture winner Dances with Wolves. The comparison makes sense, because in both films, a man sent to remove indigenous peoples from their ancestral home comes to identify with those people. In both films, the natives are depicted as noble beings living in harmony with nature in an environmental utopia, and their would-be despoilers represents the worst about Western civilization. Avatar brings to mind another film, Contact, based on the novel by Carl Sagan of Cosmos fame, whose films portrayed a meaningless universe. It tells the story of an agnostic scientist, Eli Attaway, who receives and decodes a message from extraterrestrials. The encounter between these ETs transforms her life and makes her see the universe and our place in it in a whole new way. Sagan's passionate desire to find life in outer space caused one writer to ask, why is Carl Sagan so lonely? Why did a man whose scientific worldview, which dismissed the Christian view of God, put so much stock in intelligent life on other worlds? The answer is that this worldview, which reduces man to nothing special in an insignificant corner of the cosmos, is unbearable. The idea we're alone, that we have no special purpose, no meaning that goes with that purpose, creates despair. So we imagine transcending intelligences from other worlds that make us feel better. What Sagan's transcending intelligences do for Ellie, Cameron's blue-skinned natives in Avatar do for his wheelchair-bound hero, Sully. They provide him with meaning and purpose he can't find on Earth. They set him free, not only from his physical limitations, but more importantly, his spiritual ones. Sure, it's fantasy. Many scientists, however, believe that the idea of intelligent life imagined by Sagan, Stephen Hawking, and others is extremely remote. E.T. probably hasn't called because he's probably not out there. And even if E.T. is out there, the solution for the longing expressed in Contact and Avatar isn't to sit by the phone waiting for him or imagining other life forms. It's embracing biblical truths about who we are and what our purpose is. Coming to grips with the fantastic notion that even in the vastness of the cosmos, we're not alone, never were. And even more fantastically, we're loved, loved by the very creator of the cosmos. We were made, crafted in his image, rescued from loneliness and despair by his only son. And not even the latest 3D special effects can top that.
That was Chuck Colson, reminding us that every movie, like every form of art and communication, contains worldview messages. And this gives Christians the opportunity to discern, to engage, and to communicate truth to others. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. For more resources that live like a Christian in this cultural moment, go to ColsonCenter.org.
20 past the hour, Kevin Williams next.
Good afternoon. Here is your family life weather forecast. The call for this afternoon, variable clouds, sunny intervals, and lake effect rain showers in parts of the area. Highs in the 50s and low 60s. Tonight, some clouds. There'll be a shower, a little bit of drizzle. Low temps, 40s and low 50s. Tomorrow starts with clouds. The sky's clear for some sunshine. High temps in the 50s and low 60s. And Friday is sunny in New York State. Partly to mostly sunny in Pennsylvania, with high temperatures in the 60s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price, and here's what's happening this Wednesday, the 28th of September. All eyes on Ian right now. That monster hurricane is about to make landfall along the Gulf Coast of Florida. In fact, the eye wall has already roared ashore near Fort Myers.
Knocking on the door of a Category 5 storm. Storm of this magnitude will produce catastrophic flooding and life-threatening storm surge.
Governor DeSantis says it's too late to evacuate. People need to hunker down as Ian closes in. Watching the storm is forecaster Janice Dean.
It's a big storm, and it's going to impact the whole state.
A 250,000 Florida homes without power. Meteorologist Bill Caron says Ian will alter the landscape of Southwest Florida.
This is going to change neighborhoods, communities, and towns, not just for weeks, months, possibly years.
Up to an 18-foot storm surge is expected near Fort Myers. Texas Senator Ted Cruz is slamming former President Obama for claiming that Republicans are racist for wanting a secure border.
You know what, President Obama? You know what, President Biden? You know what's racist? When Joe Biden sits by and lets 4.5 million people cross into this country illegally.
Cruz says racism reared its ugly head recently on Martha's Vineyard.
And you know what's racist? When all the lily white folks on Martha's Vineyard sit back and say, no, 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 we don't want any illegal immigrants here. Send them to South Texas. They can deal with it.
The senator says illegal immigration has led to unprecedented human trafficking and drug smuggling. Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin reacting to student-led protests yesterday over his new transgender policies in public schools.
The draft policies, which are up for 30 days of comment, are fully focused on bringing parents into that discussion as a primary decision maker, not to exclude a trusted teacher or a trusted advisor or counselor, but to recognize that these most important decisions must involve parents.
Youngkin says when it comes to classroom discussions about gender ideology or sexual orientation, it is time to restore parental rights.
We are having to correct, I think, a big mistake, which was previous policies that excluded parents from these decisions. And so that is a change, and I think it's an important one.
The student walkouts yesterday were to protest proposals that promote age-appropriate learning material, require students use the bathrooms of their sex at birth, and ban transgender athletes from competing in girls' sports. The Great Resignation shows no signs of abating. Nearly half of all Americans are thinking of leaving their job within the next year, and flexibility is a major reason why. Apparently, working from home is the ultimate job perk. 42% of respondents to the one poll say they are willing to quit their current job for the chance to work remotely. Disturbing trend when it comes to breast cancer detection. A survey out today shows many women are skipping yearly mammograms. Dr. Nikita Sho at Orlando Health says that can have fatal consequences.
Early detection is so critically important, because the survival rate for early stage breast cancer is over 90 to 95%.
42,000 women in the U.S. die every year from breast cancer. The first all-electric airplane has gotten off the ground in the state of Washington. Eviation CEO Gregory Davis.
We were able to witness history in the making. The flight lasted for 8 minutes. We flew 3,500 feet in altitude.
That plane can carry 9 passengers and 2 pilots. It is powered by 21,500 small Tesla-style battery cells. It's 24 past the hour, and this is the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome back to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. Wednesdays during the Noon Report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families with licensed mental health counselor Christopher Anderson. And today, with the upcoming potentially tumultuous midterm elections in November, we are discussing how to get ready and how to engage the political process in a godly manner, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely, Brandon. And, you know, we're going to be discussing, I think, some common misapplication of some scriptural principles here that I think oftentimes people use as an excuse to help avoid being involved in the political process. But I think people need to understand they need to get their voices heard.
So let's get right to it. With all the division, which definitely does not seem to be improving, what can we do to not get overly frustrated with the condition of our nation?
This is a tough question, but it's one with some clear biblical guidance, I think, and it's so incredibly basic to our conversation today. We're not to draw our hope from what we're seeing in this world, but from God and His Word. And that's a pretty clear picture and a clear command in Scripture. We're living in a fallen world with imperfect people trying to call the shots. And with the way things are going these days, it's easy for us to take up sides. But it's so important to remember that regardless of the political side that you see yourself on, the government cannot save us. That can only happen as God works all things out for the good of those who believe in Him.
So how can we as Christians make sure that we're not getting too caught up in the rhetoric and look too much like the world?
That's a really good question, Brandon, and it's not easy at times. And I think that one of the best things you can do is make sure you're staying tight with your Christian friends and others who can help you on your journey of faith. Make sure you're going to church regularly. You know, you belong to a Bible-believing church, and one that's holding firm to the unchanging truths of the Bible. Now, I might ruffle some feathers here, but if your church has become too contemporary with respect to social views and the current trends of society, you might want to reevaluate where you are attending church. Make sure you're having a balanced discussion with your friends, maintaining open channels of communication with your friends that don't necessarily share your views. I mean, that's an opportunity to not only share your faith, but also to discuss critical issues of the day. And I get it. This is sometimes easier said than done, but honestly, how else are we going to be able to shine God's light on tough topics? I know there's a very popular quote, I hear it from a lot of folks, from St. Francis of Assisi, that honestly, I believe is oftentimes used as an excuse to not speak up when it's time to speak up. And that quote says, share the gospel always, use words if necessary. Now, of course, while that is correct, and I think that is an accurate statement, I think a lot of folks will use that quote as a way to avoid getting in tough conversations, okay? And people will say, well, I don't like conflict. Good. Don't ever start liking conflict. The minute you start liking conflict is the minute you become a bully. So don't start liking conflict, but know how to engage in conversations, which can be kind of tough. That's good exercise. It's really good. And I think it's more important to remember also to be careful how you say things. I'd rather quote this, saying, it's not always what you say as much as how you say it. And also, try to stay up to date with Christian organizations that are taking an active role in politics so you can know what efforts are being made to have our voices heard and so that you can stay up on the current trends.
What about social media? I know we've spoken often about that, and it's often negative impact on political relations.
That is absolutely correct. Honestly, I scaled back my own social media engagement, particularly during these times of the year when we have an upcoming important election that's approaching. We have to choose how we engage social media. It's neither a good thing nor it's a bad thing in and of itself. And I've said it not only here on the air several times before, I'll say it again. I've been guilty of overdoing it myself on social media when it comes to politics, posting things that really don't help the cause of Christ. And I've had to eat my own words and also apologize to folks for that at times. But again, that is a choice. If you're too worked up, feeling overly stressed and anxious, not only about politics, but anything, oftentimes check your social media habits. And I'll bet you more often than not, you'll be able to see how social media has contributed to anxiety and other concerns you might be having.
Any final thoughts?
Brandon, it's not only biblical to be involved in our culture, it's also our responsibility as citizens of the United States. Get out and vote. Make your voices heard. Don't hesitate to look up what your political candidates stand for and what they believe, because quite honestly, that'll then help you to make an informed decision. And also, don't hesitate to send your elected officials emails or written letters or even set appointments to speak with them or an official from their office on the phone. I'll tell you what, I have done that many times myself on several different issues, and it's also our right to do that. They are representing us in office. But remember, in all correspondences, it's not so much what you're saying, it's how you're saying it. Keep it classy, keep it godly, get your voices heard.
Well, you've been listening to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. It airs Wednesdays during the noon report. We tackle the tough topics facing today's families with Christian counselor Christopher Anderson.
All right, gentlemen, great conversation today. Very timely. Real Answers available online anytime. Check it out, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Of course, all national eyes are on Hurricane Ian, now lambasting parts of Florida, the Sun Coast, as it were. Here, no tropical weather is due, but another autumnal day underway. A swirl of low pressure keeping us cool and breezy with clouds, sunny breaks, and lake effect showers. As that disturbance moves away, though, brighter skies return later tomorrow and on Friday. The call for this afternoon, variable clouds, sunny intervals, and lake effect rain showers in parts of the area. Highs in the 50s and low 60s. Tonight, some clouds. There'll be a shower, a little bit of drizzle. Low temps, 40s and low 50s. Tomorrow starts with clouds. The sky is clear for some sunshine. High temps in the 50s and low 60s. And Friday is sunny in New York State. Partly to mostly sunny in Pennsylvania with high temperatures in the 60s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. Finally at noon today, McDonald's is offering toys for adults in their Happy Meals. Where has this been all my life? Reporter Brian Shook.
The fast food chain announced it's partnered with Cactus Plant Flea Market, a streetwear brand. The idea is to repackage the chain's popular Happy Meal into something for an older audience. The Cactus Plant Flea Market box is presented as a Happy Meal style package that includes one of four figurines. Each meal comes with either a Big Mac or 10-piece McNuggets along with fries and a drink, and either a Grimace, Hamburglar, Birdie, or Cactus Buddy figurine. The Cactus Plant Flea Market box will be available starting on October 3rd. I'm Brian Shook.
Finally, something for us adults. Thank you, Brian. That's the world we live in. Wednesday, the 28th of September. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.